Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. Keep in mind, this is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you, so you can call them. 917-889-3068. Now, that's a USA number, so if you're in Mexico, add the plus. Or email us, musicscenefronterasmx, don't forget the MX, at gmail.com. Okay, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates in the east coast of the U.S. And also want to say hi to everybody listening to us on the Artistic Echoes and Canalside Radio Network in the U.K., who will, of course, hear us tomorrow. And, of course, hi to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. If you have questions or comments, email us, musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on a podcast or in the United Kingdom, you can still email questions or comments, and we will forward them on to our guests. And as always, remember that we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and really noisy country, okay? Our studio is downtown. Our soundproofing is pretty good, although we are going to add a couple more panels this week. But you may still hear the odd gas truck, the police car with the loudspeaker telling us to wear masks and stay inside, and possibly a little bit of the construction of the building next door to us, which is using real loud power tools. It's also spring here. The air is full of pollen, but worse, the farmers across the lake are burning the stubble in their agricultural fields, and the smoke is drifting this way, and it's getting into my throat. As you can tell, I have a little bit of a scratchy throat. But no matter, it's our guest voices that are important, so you'll just bear with me and you'll enjoy listening to them. Today is a double show, two guests, so stick around for the full hour. Well, our first guest was originally from Ohio, but she's now Los Angeles-based, the country singer Eileen Carey, and she knows how to effortlessly blend pop and rock and country music, and it's a mix that has brought her numerous awards, including the Los Angeles Music Awards in 2017, the Live Country Music Performer in 2016 Female Country Artist Awards, and of course she was named in 2018 as the New Music Weekly Country Breakthrough Artist of the Year. So, you know that she's good. Her live performances, and I've seen one of them, whether in Hollywood's Whiskey A Go-Go or at the CMA festivals in Nashville, or when she's sharing stages with, you know, people like Wilson Phillips, Don McLean, Jefferson Starship, Rita Coolidge, there's a combination for you. She wows fans with her stories, she wows fans with her arrangements, and she wows fans with her voice. But she's not content with her music success. She also launched the Music Mom blog, and she helps Animal Rescue, and she's appeared in films, including the original Batman. So here she is. Eileen, welcome to Music Sin Fronteras.
Hi there. Thank you for having me today.
Well, you are really Sin Fronteras, without frontiers. You cross the frontiers of country and pop and rock, although I think country's kind of crossed the rock frontier some time ago. I've been listening to your music all week, and I hear how effortlessly you blend all these things. That must be the product of some kind of a musical evolution, because as I understand it, you started your musical career when you were 13 on drums. So how did that end up in award-winning chart-topping country music?
That's funny. I started with drums, but actually that didn't last very long. I used to bang on everything in sight in the house, and my parents said, "Oh, that's enough," and they bought me a drum, and I just was playing with that. And then I went on to musical theater and choir and things in school, and come on and started to go that way. And then I kind of took off away from music for a while and went to school for business and got into the field of hotel management and decided I had enough of that and went back into film and TV and the music career and never looked back. I didn't. I like the hospitality, but I'd rather be singing and creating music instead of working in the hotel.
Okay, I can understand that. you know, country is often derided unfairly as somebody done someone wrong in a pickup truck while drinking beer and losing a job. You've created a body of work in country that is positive, uplifting. You kind of recast country as a music of good stories. Have you always been this way, always been able to look on the bright side and the best that's yet to come, but always staying real while you do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much embedded in me. I don't know where I got that gift from, but I try to pull out the positive in everything that's happening, you know. I mean, even today where we're going through all these hardships right now, I try to find the best quality out of everybody and then put it into a song and, you know, share it that way. It's not easy.
Well, you pull
when
it off.
Turn
you
the
make
TV
it look,
on.
you make it look easy. And I want to play an example of how you make it look easy. being positive without losing reality. So here it comes. This is Finally. Audience members, the video that goes with that song is a wonderful paper cutout and stop motion video. And after the show, you should go to Eileen's YouTube channel and take a look at it. It's really, really wonderful. Eileen, I understand that Misha Black wrote the song and you co-produced it and performed it. Is that right? And was the video also your concept?
Actually, yes, she wrote the song and, we put it together, me and my producer and her, and that went off quite well. And then with the video, I have a video director. His first name is Tanner, and he had to move back to Berlin for a while. And we were trying to figure out how we're going to put this video together because he's in Berlin and he just moved, and we can't fly back and forth right now. And so I said, well, let's just start off with a lyric video. And then, you know, as time went on, we talked about it and talked about it. And then he came up with this idea, and I said, wow. And then I did see some out there that, a commercial, actually, they had something like this. And I said, yeah, let's try that. And before you know it, it came out to be this really cute animation video without the lyrics. So it worked.
It really worked well. And like I say, you were able in both the video and the song to deliver a positive message, but not ignore the realities of life that sometimes we have to go through to get to that positive message. So you do that very well. You once said, and others have said this too, but you once said that we should find the reasons why people hurt and try to help heal them. Now, I think the video of that song kind of exemplifies that, as does your song, Bottle That Crazy. where did the inclination to heal come from?
Just in my personal, I don't know. I've always had this, I guess I'm always been like a little fixer, you know, trying to create music that's so positive to be able to, if I can take, three minutes away from somebody who's going through some hardship and give them a little joy in 3 minutes, and, you know, I've done my job. I think people, you know, life is hard enough. We don't need to add to any more to it. We just got to keep on moving. That's all we can do.
Well, you keep us all moving. And speaking of moving, you're originally from Ohio, but I understand
yes.
that when you were back in the hotel business, you moved to L.A. With the Sheraton organization, booking entertainment. At that time, did you realize that you were moving to the creative capital of the world? Did L.A. have anything to do with you deciding to return to music?
After a while, after being in the hotel business and after, you know, dealing with the food and beverage area where you hired and fired entertainment and did the marketing and all that. And then, of course, you know, you're in the middle of all these hotels and you have all the entertainment coming in and out of the hotels and visiting and performing. And so you can't do it. You can't stay away from it. You know, it's like it's exciting. So the more I got to be around the entertainment industry, even through the hospitality, I found myself leading it back to the music industry. Actually, I went back to before I decided to go into the music. I was going to do music theater, and then also I was studying to be a director for film. And then that's how I got casted in a few movies, you know, just to see how it is on the other side. So when I did become a director, I knew what it was to be an actor, you know, and how I can relate to them. So I was learning the other side. And then somehow I got drawn back into music and I never looked back. But I do use all this stuff on my music videos with everything I've learned from the theater to the films to just to people around me too.
Wow. That's quite a story, and you're very multi-talented. Let me remind our audience that we're talking with Eileen Carey. You can talk with her too, or you can email. We've already got some emails, so why don't we go right to the emails here. Lulu Clearwater, who doesn't say what city she's in, and please, when you email us, let us know what city you're in, just so our audience has an idea of what part of the country her fans are in. Lulu Clearwater has two questions. The first one is, what was your inspiration for Finally? And then the second question is, what is your criterion for choosing to cover another's material? So what was the inspiration for Finally?
I like the story. It was about, you know, we get into relationships and sometimes we want to rush them, you know. We think, wow, you know, I found this person and I'm ready to walk down the aisle with them, or, you know, as girls sometimes, you know, as we're growing up, we have that little fantasy. And but it was, the moral of the story is, you know, we take our time, don't rush, and it all fall into place. So it was a good little story, and it reminds me too not to rush into things because we're always in a hurry sometimes. And love will come, and it'll come on at its own pace. And the next question was about. Go ahead.
How do you choose to what material to cover?
But the last things I did cover was. A tune off of the Pretenders albums, Don't Get Me Wrong. And I did Only the Lonely by the Motels. And I did Walking on Sunshine, too. I don't know. I really am a fan of the 80s. Kind of fanatic. So I really love that type of sound and style. The poppier, the better, you know. I enjoy that because I don't get to do it very often. I mean, that's really not my style because I'm more country pop rock. So to be able to just go in there and cover a tune that's a little more poppy, it's a little more challenging for me. And but it was fun, and it's fun. It's fun to copy the go in there and record a cover tune from the 80s and kind of live the 80s back again.
Well, it's fun to listen to it, too. Amlin Ramlin in Austin wants to know, have you ever played in Austin or have you ever played at South By?
No, I haven't, but I was going to do that this year, but somehow that got canceled. it was going to be my first time going to Austin and just kind of walking around and checking it out and see which direction I wanted to go. And unfortunately, that was canceled. But there's always next year.
There is, and you would be a big hit at South By, I can tell you now. Allison 2B Star in New York City wants to know, do you have any advice for hashtag girls with guitars just starting out their singing careers?
Well, I always tell everybody in the beginning, it's hard and you need to follow your dream. Just keep on following it. You know, always work on your craft. Know what it is. If it's your songwriting, go to classes, if vocal classes, you know, constantly. You can never learn too much. You know, it's just, we're in the business end too, you know, because we all go out there and we want to be big stars and sing and write and all that. But then we forget there's another part of the entertainment world, which is the business end. And sometimes we fail at that. but it goes hand in hand. And never forget that. Be true to yourself, too, you know.
The artists I talk to, and I talk to about 50 artists a year, most of them are now beginning to, most of them get that. That they understand that they've got to pay attention to their streams and their audiences and their downloads and how much money they're making in various platforms. I think mm-hmm. that reality is beginning to catch up with a lot of the music industry creators. Well, speaking of the music industry creators, I want to get back to music. And you've got a song in there that really makes me think of how relationships, which you just noticed, you just talked about, get healed. And this is Meet Me Halfway. So I'm going to play a little bit of Meet Me Halfway. Sentiment that we could really use right now with everybody so hunkered down in their own position and beliefs. What prompted that song?
You know, it's a funny story. I was driving to the gym and I was watching this girl crossing the crosswalk, you know, and she wasn't paying attention. You know, she had her phone and her headphones on and she was texting and she wasn't looking around her. And I went, wow, is that how disconnected we are? You know, because I'm guilty too. You know, I got the phone, I got this, I got that. And I worked with my co-writer, my producer, and we came up with the song Meet Me Halfway. You know, we're so into the social media and everything that we get caught up and we forget about the reality. You know, what's more important? Is it the social media or is it your family or is your whatever you're doing at that time? So I got inspired by that girl walking across the street. Isn't that funny how it came about? And I said, because I didn't realize. Sometimes it just pops up in front of your face. You go, oh, my God, do we really do that, you know?
Yeah.
And we're all guilty. I mean, we should all be walking around
yep.
with antennas in our
head. Yep. Well, I hope she made it across the street in one piece.
Yeah, she made it. I stopped for her.
Right.
Good thing I was paying attention, though. But it was like, you know, this, and we all do it. You know, I've seen so many
do.
People do it.
I hate it when
it's
I'm.
It's a reminder.
It is, and I'm really glad you did it. When I'm out to dinner, when we used to go out to dinner with our friends, and everybody sits down and they put their cell phone down on the table next to their plate. And you say, right away, you know that they're going to be talking to people who aren't there. I love some of the restaurants that have put in jammers. So you can't do that.
Cool.
Yeah, there are a few. They're very expensive. The positivity that your music exudes seems to exude into some other areas, too. And two of which I find very fascinating. The first one is Music Mom, and the second one is Animal Rescue. So let's start with Animal Rescue. Can you tell our audience about Stray Paws and how you got involved in that?
Well, I was always the kid that would bring home the lost animal. So it's been pretty much embedded into me all my life, you know, that would be to bring the dog home or the cat or the bird, whatever could find out there. You know, as we moved to L.A. and got married and had kids and had a bunch of animals here, you know, I think it really all started with my one daughter. She found this little cat and she says, can you rescue it? And so I called some rescue people to get the cat. And then, of course, we kept it. But and then it started from there. You know, it was like every time you turned around, there was another stray cat or another stray dog or something. So my husband was involved with Six Nation for quite a long time, which he is still too. And they do a lot of surgeries and they rescue feral cats and they fix them and give them all the medical and flea treatments and shots and all that. And some do get released back into the community so they can live their life off. And then there's kittens and all that that get rescued and they get adoptions, and which Six Nation now became Stray Paws. We work together, Stray Paws Animal Haven, which now we're working with too, that's connected with it, is the ASPCA. And so they're all working together to rescue the animals, find them homes, help them medically, and dogs too, of course, because that's just kind of, that's our love, you know, it's children and animals. And so have more animals than children.
I hope so.
So I got a lot of four-legged children.
Right. Where is Stray Paws located?
That's located in Los Angeles, El Monte area. And then Six Nation is located in Burbank.
Okay. And do you happen to know how people can – well, they can just Google them and find them. And if they want to get involved, they
Facebook.
Can volunteer.
Yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah,
they can volunteer or they can donate, right? Okay.
Yes, they can do all that. Donate, volunteer, rescue, you know, get involved, because especially in L.A., we have a lot of stray animals because of the weather, you know. It's totally different if you go to another state where it's cold, you know.
Yeah.
But, and so they multiply, and so it keeps the population down, and gets the little babies rescued and find homes and adoptions and keeps everybody healthy.
Okay.
And
well, speaking of kids, you're also the Music Mom. You're the founder of the blog by that name. And one of the things you said in Music Mom is that motherhood and musicianship can complement each other, and doing one makes you better at the other. How does that work?
Well, the kids keep you on your toes all the time. they keep you focused, and you know, you're always juggling things. They give you always new ideas how to write, you know, what song next song title will be.
Okay.
It just goes hand in hand, you know. The structure, it's just a way of balance, and then it's fun. It's enjoyable. They bring life into the music, and the music brings life into them.
Okay. All right. Well, I recommend that people take a look at the blog, whether you're a mom or not. I did. I'm obviously not a mom. I'm a dad, and I learned some things. Well, we're getting really tight on time, but there's another song I want to play. This is Good Bad Girl. Here we go.
Get up in the morning and bake you a mean pancake. From a cold beer can to the finest wine, from church to the bar, I'm a damn good time. The kind of girl you don't just
another great positive song. Well, whether you're a good girl or a bad girl or both, the clock is telling us that you've got to be a gone girl because we're running out of time. But real quick, you have a new song coming out this summer. Is that right?
Yes, it's going to be the middle of July, and it's called Keep Your Love to Yourself. It's another positive love tune. Well, you know, sometimes we end up in relationships that don't work out too good for us, but you know, there's always a positive note that when one door closes, another door opens, and you find a new love.
Okay, all right. real quick, how do you want people to follow you, and where do people go to get your music?
They can follow me on EileenCarey.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Google me. You can find my music on CD Baby and iTunes, Amazon, Spotify.
All the usual platforms, right?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Okay. Well, Eileen, thank you so much for a great interview. This has been a lot of fun. And also, thanks for a lot of great music, too, and for holding the country western banner up high in LA, which I know isn't easy.
Yeah. Well, I keep on holding up as high as I can go. No,
okay.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That was Eileen Carey. You can get her music on all their usual platforms and be on the alert for her new song coming out in July. We're going to be back in about 30 seconds with Strictly Elizabeth. In the meantime, I'm going to give you a little bit more of Eileen's great song, Meet Me Halfway. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? A lot of people want to hear Good Bad Girl, so we're going to do that. Here it is.
In the morning and bake you a mean pancake. From a cold beer can to the finest wine, from church to the bar, I'm a damn good time. The kind of girl you don't just
see. Today, you know, we're having a doubleheader. We have two guests, and our next guest, Jessica Elizabeth Davenport, who's also known musically as Strictly Elizabeth, releases her debut album. Yay! This is a banner day. It's called Shelter in Place, and you can get it all over. But we're going to talk to her in just a minute about it, because it's the result of professional triumphs, personal tragedies, and hitting the pause button on her career as an urban planner. In order to concentrate on her lifelong passion in music. She was on the show 2 weeks ago when the platform crashed and we lost her. So we're bringing her back to finish the interview and to celebrate the release of her debut album. Jessica, welcome back to Music Scene Frontieris. So far, so good.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure, believe me. As I said 2 weeks ago, I love debut albums, and especially this one. Debut albums always have a passion and an energy in them that is unique. And, you know, this album really does. Can you give us a brief rundown on the events in your life that led to this moment, that from going from an urban planner to releasing your debut album? Was there a particular event that kind of flipped the switch in your head and said, music is where I want to take my life now?
In hindsight, it's so much easier to see that moment. I think in reality, it definitely took me some time to kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, the things I was trying to solve out in the world, I really needed to first solve in myself. And so, I think that there was probably a series of events that led me inside, hence the name of the album, Shelter in Place.
Why did you call it Shelter in Place?
Well, you know, I'd come to California kind of by way of Hong Kong. I was working on a project there and just felt in the beginning that it was just this kind of Western outpost from the life that I had left in New York City. And, you know, there was a series of kind of personal tragedies in my life. And, you know, at the time I was kind of jet setting on the West Coast and really felt like I said, I just needed to kind of do some personal self-reflection. And so, you know, this album and the making of this album really, really came out of that time that I kind of carved out for myself, and which is really resonating in the current state of affairs.
You could say that. All right. Well, one thing that struck me immediately about this album is it shows off your range. And pardon my voice here, as I explained at the beginning of the program, there's some agricultural field burning going on across the lake, and the smoke is getting over here, and it's a little tough on my throat. But we'll keep going. You've got 9 songs, but each song is kind of its own standalone work of art. It each has a different feel. Were some of the songs in your head for a long time before you decided to shape an album out of them?
Sure, yeah. Some of them definitely have their beginnings long ago, back in New York. And some of them kind of came into being as I was, up and down the West Coast, trying to figure out my life here in California. And some of them really didn't come into, you know, their full being until we were really deep in the process of making the album.
I was drawn to one song in particular on the album, Cold Calculus. Why don't we listen to a little bit of it? I love the twangy guitar and the retro rock feel in that. And I especially like the lyrics. I want to read some of the lyrics. A glacier running through canyons not yet discovered, black submerged in icy oceans. And now there is the sun. And then later on in that verse, you say, of all of these people still cold and hard, stop still ice. What exactly is the cold calculus? And who are the people who are cold and hard and stuck in the ice?
That song really came to me kind of all at once, and it was my own ruminating on the ideas of, you know, maybe being stuck somewhere emotionally, and I had a lot of imagery come to me because at the time I was also reading about the melting of the permafrost and other things related to climate change and how some of these ancient things that had been frozen for so long were now coming to light. And so the metaphor was really, you know, the effect of love and its ability to kind of melt through that that ice and kind of find you in that moment in time where you might be stuck because of either things that have happened to you or accidents or whatever it is that has kind of caught you in that moment. And then, you know, at the same time, then seeing compassion for other people who maybe it became clear to me that, you know, we're all potentially sometimes stuck in our own glacier, in our own moment of trauma or sorrow.
That's an interesting way to put it. Very interesting way to put it, which is why your lyrics are so good, right? You mentioned earlier that a lot of things came to you while you were, quote, traveling up and down California. California is my home until I moved to Mexico. And in another life, I was an assistant to the governor of California, and we traveled up and down California a lot in both campaigns and other things. And for people who don't know California, the coastline is 1,200 miles long. It's quite a variation of environments. Was there any place along that trip that really hit you, that really pulled at your heart, that you found yourself really comfortable in?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's so many. you know, we did a music video for one of the songs called California Bend at a beach called Moonlight Beach in San Diego. And I have a very like personal attachment to that particular beach. It was one of the first places that a family member took me and was talking to me about her move to California. So that's one moment, but there's many others.
You learned to surf, didn't you?
Yes. The simple answer is yes. I'm not a good surfer, but I got out there and I gave it a try.
I actually was raised surfing in Playa del Rey and Santa Monica area, which is, if you know anything about surfing, you know, is not great waves, but they're fun. And for those people who are listening who haven't surfed, being out on the backside of waves, sitting on your board, watching them come in at you, and sometimes even seeing dolphins and things like that is quite an experience. It does change you. And I imagine it had an impact on you. Let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Jessica Elizabeth Davenport, who's known musically as Strictly Elizabeth, who's released her debut album today, Shelter in Place, and you can talk with them. We have some emails already. So why don't we go right to the emails here? Magellan Girl in Atlanta wants to know, well, here's what she says. So sorry you got cut off on the earlier show, but glad you are back. What can you tell someone who went back to her career in data analysis when the lockdown stopped my music career and I want to get back on stage?
I'm not sure. I really am not. I think everybody has just kind of been thrown into the chaos. And, you know, the best I can say is, you know, I think we all have to find our own kind of true north and recalibrate our moral compass.
Okay, that's a good answer, Evan. And I'll give you a little bit of my answer because I deal with musicians all the time, many of whom have this question. Stay in the eye of your fans, live stream if you can. Bopper Brown in Sacramento, California, wants to know, did you call the album Shelter in Place before we all sheltered in place? I guess you'll have to release another album called Free at Last when we're all free to go hear music.
Yes, I did. I decided on this title last summer, and maybe it was a premonition. Hard to say.
You were ahead of the curve. Regina in Tampa writes, if and when you ever tour again, we would love to see you here. We get too many guy bands and not enough girls. You are so good. No question, but
oh,
nice
thank
compliment.
You.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
You worked in urban design and transportation planning, but you've been singing and songwriting since you were a child, I understand. Were these two passions at odds inside of you, or were they complementary?
I think there have been moments where they felt in conflict for me. And as I was saying earlier in our previous interview, I think that was a result of not having enough energy for it. And I think I needed to really learn balance in terms of just finding things that are more symbiotically related and also probably within myself. I think a lot of times I want to give so much to so many things, you know, whatever kind of project it ends up being, and just learning and realizing that, you know, you kind of focused energy is much more valuable than dissipated energy.
Well, that's for sure. And speaking of focused energy and dissipated energy, when you came to Los Angeles, LA is full of both in music. How did or did it the LA creative music environment, how did that affect your music, or did it affect your music?
You know, it's still so new. So I would say that it is affecting my music now in the present tense. And I'm as excited as I am to share this album with everyone. I'm equally as excited about the new music that's blossoming with my place here in LA.
Is that new music inside of you that's going to lead to another album?
You know, if with the gods willing, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, speaking of your music, I've got some more songs here I want to play from the new album. There's one in particular that I really like that really kind of struck home with me. It actually kind of touched deeply. So I want to listen to music, a minute or two of Watch the Clockwork. Here it comes. Read some of the lyrics from that, because you have such a nice way with words. We could wait so long, wait for the scenes in our heads we've been working on. Wait till we're dead and the money rolls in. That's pretty powerful stuff. You know, it makes me, and I'm sure everybody hears it, stop and ask themselves, is this what I should really be doing? When in your career did you write that song?
Those lyrics had their beginnings long ago, back in New York. I had started writing that song about the time I kind of put music aside. And when I picked it back up again, that was one of the first songs that I picked back up and wrote the rest of it. But that those first lyrics you read are those were the beginnings of that song.
So you were actually in your urban planning career at that time?
Architecture, urban design, transportation, yep.
Interesting, very interesting. I understand you're working on storyboards for animated videos for the songs in this album. Do you have any ideas how you're going to do that one?
I do. That one is pretty vivid in my mind. I won't give it away too much, but I have a moment in time.
Okay. Well, since this is radio, people can't see it anyway. Is creating videos one of your many talents?
You know, I discovered that. It was been pretty recent, and I think what I discovered is that I definitely have a kind of cinematic approach to things, and I definitely have vivid imagery, and I just hadn't really put those together till I kind of came up to the challenge of, okay, I need to make a music video, and you know, it's been a really fun process to learn and explore, and it really, it's like another dimension to the songwriting, so it's been really cool.
And I'm not surprised that you have that talent, because you worked in the visual built arena beforehand in your professional career. Well, I can hardly wait to see your videos for the album. In the meantime, there's another song that I want to play a little of. And I think, and this is just me talking, but I think this is the most beautiful song on the album, particularly because it's just you. It's a cappella. It's called This Possession. Here it comes.
Lord knows I spent years on my kitchen floor. I broke down, but I got through. I lost my lust and my love for you. Oh, look ahead, and I can't see untamed and setting free. Time and weight and fear. I've got years to mourn my nights. Go on and free.
Oh, like I said, I think is one of the most beautiful pieces of songs on the album, not only because of your voice, but because of the writing in it too. The lyrics, I spent years on my kitchen floor. I broke down, but I got through. I lost my lust and my love for you. You know, I listened to that over and over again and tried to grasp the depth of emotion your words and your voice communicate in those lines and in the rest of the song. I don't think I know the answer, but or maybe I do know the answer, but I have a question I want to ask for my audience. Why did you choose a cappella for that song?
I think a lot of it goes back to the very beginnings of me as a child. And I used to just kind of wander outdoors and sing to myself. And a lot of my early memories of singing was a cappella singing, usually gospel songs in the a setting, you know, similar to a church. And that song just kind of resonated with that piece of me.
So you've been hearing your voice ever since you were a child, which...
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've probably learned... Have you had voice lessons?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And I got older.
But you've certainly learned how to modulate it and control it very well and to inject emotion into it. That's a very powerful song. Well, Jessica, we have another powerful friend in the studio here. It's called The Clock. And it's telling us that we're out of time. But before we go, I want to say that this album is a real gift and should put you firmly on everybody's radar. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and for giving us this album.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for all of your kind words and encouragement.
Well, I want to remind our audience that the album is out today. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. Well, where else can people get it besides Spotify and Apple Music?
Strictlyelizabeth.com. And there's links to all of the platforms, I believe.
Okay. And that's where people can follow you is at strictlyelizabeth.com.
Sure. And at whatever social media platform of their preference. There's so many.
You're right. Well, I want to thank you again for a wonderful gift and a wonderful conversation. I want to remind our audience, this is Strictly Elizabeth. The album is Shelter in Place. It's out today. Today is the banner day. And you should, as soon as I say goodbye to you, you should go over to your favorite platform and either stream it or get a copy. And let me remind you that you have been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStationUSA.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, and our radio affiliates, and also in England on the Artistic Echoes Network. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, get real-time updates on our guests. Our producers, Lars Christensen, our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com or on